Pothasil's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Right, we've just witnessed an incredible Australian Open. We've seen history made. We saw the Roger Federer unbelievable match with Rafa Nadal, and Federer winning that 18th crown. But it wasn't just about Roger, that tournament. There were some other remarkable turns of events as well, including the British number two, Dan Evans, who was involved in some heroic matches. Let's catch up now with his coach, who's based out of Chester. It's Mark Hilton. Morning, Mark.
Morning.
Give us some reflections on the Australian Open. Actually, the build-up to the Australian Open was pretty good for Dan, because he was in the final of the Sydney International.
That's right. I mean, he had a good year at the start. We flew out on Boxing Day out to Perth and played Hopman Cup, where he was fortunate to compete against Federer there in an exhibition match before heading to Sydney, where he managed to get his first top 10 win and making final. So it was a real good build-up into the Australian Open.
So it set him up perfectly. He lost in the final to Gilles Muller, but then he went through to the Australian. Was he in buoyant mood heading into the Australian Open? Because the back end of last year, or at least last year, had its ups and downs, didn't it, for Dan?
Well, he had a really good year, especially up to the US Open, where he played extremely well and lost in the third round to Wawrinka, who eventually won the US Open. And I think that from September to December, it was Dan's time to kind of reflect on that and take some time out and actually prepare properly for the start of this year, which has proved to be a good move. I mean, we had a good preseason in the US in December, ready for obviously a long year, which basically started down in Australia.
How much did that defeat in the US Open affect him to Wawrinka? He's talked in the past about, because he had a match point, didn't he? It was into the fifth set. It didn't happen for him. And he said that was a little bit of a problem for him subsequently. He thought about it an awful lot.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a huge blow. I mean, there's always so many positives that come out of that sort of run and that sort of performance, especially. But personally for Dan, obviously not getting over the line in that match was a big deal. And not only that, he went straight from there to the Davis Cup semi-final against Argentina, where he lost a deciding rubber. So, you know, those sort of disappointments take its toll. But I think one of the things that Dan's obviously learned throughout his career so far is that, you know, with tennis, you always get another chance and there's always another opportunity. So it's a case of trying to, you know, take the highs and lows as they come and respond well.
And he has shown that. And actually, I mean, he's shown that in the Australian Open just a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, the result over Marin Cilic, many maybe didn't expect it. But he's shown that he can compete at the highest level in the biggest arenas.
Absolutely. And not just this year. I mean, he's had that in the past with Davis Cup. And he made third round of the US Open back in 2013, beating Nishikori and Tomic again. So, you know, he's shown that he loves to play on the big stage. He played his best tennis in that environment. And it's a case of when he goes on that court against those best players that he has the belief to win. It's just whether he can perform on the day. And then obviously it's always comes down to very fine margins.
Obviously you were out there. I don't know whether you saw the newspaper reports back here, but they're all talking about Dan playing in his white T-shirt with no sponsor on, you know, no one there to buy him a T-shirt. Quite a bit was made about this in an amusing sense as well, but I suppose underneath it all, there is that sort of storyline of, well, why had no one backed him? Why did he not have a major sponsor on his shirt before something like the US Open?
Well, ultimately, he was sponsored by Nike for the last 3 years, and his contract ended at the end of last year. And it kind of in negotiations during the Australian Open about either renewing that contract or signing with a new brand. So it kind of just sort of felt like that. But also, I think it was actually quite a good move from him. It's created quite a lot of buzz around it, and probably will help in a contract which he will ultimately sign.
Yeah, the Australian Open I meant, of course, before. So he's come out of this one. It's a busy year for British tennis, but of course next up is the Davis Cup against Canada. And Great Britain are the top seeds. Canada are, what are they, 12th, 13th? I think they're in double figures, aren't they? So this is over in Ottawa. How much is Dan looking forward to this?
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's going to be a big challenge for Dan and Kyle Edmund. Andy not playing the tie this time, so kind of puts them in the spotlight in the sense of trying to get the result for Great Britain. And they're obviously they're in a position where if they play their best tennis, they have a great chance. I think slightly fortunate as well that Milos Raonic isn't playing the tie either, and they're number one player. So, you know, it's always going to be a tough match, but I think they've got a great opportunity if they play well.
Is it asking too much for an Andy Murray to play in a Davis Cup match after his routine, his schedule being so vigorous?
I think it's one of them where Andy's obviously been amazing for Great Britain over the last couple of years in the Davis Cup, and his year last year, especially the last 6 months of the year, making that big push to number one and finishing the year so strong. He didn't have a long pre-season, so he's gone really rolled into this year without having maybe the appropriate rest he needed and preparation for this year. So I think he's taking that little bit of time now to do that. And as I say, the performances that he's put on for Great Britain in the Davis Cup in the past few years, it's been amazing.
It's incredible how the Davis Cup has come so much to the forefront. Obviously, winning it makes a difference, doesn't it? All of a sudden, everyone has that extra bit of interest in it. But it seems to be far higher up on the pedestal now for us.
Well, I think it's one of those where we have such an opportunity to go far in the Davis Cup, as we've proved in the last couple of years, with Andy being the best player in the world on ranking, and Jamie, his brother, being so good at doubles as well. It really makes a good, strong team. They've got the depth with Dan and Kyle, so you know, I think it's one of those where we're going to be one of the favourites every year for that, whilst Andy still plays.
So Dan himself, would you say, is he a late developer? Is he 26 now?
Yeah, he is 26.
26.
Yeah.
So do you class him as sort of a late developer in tennis terms? In terms of the talent he's showing now, but doing it at the age of 26?
In some respects, but you'll also see that, you know, there's many more players playing into their 30s. I mean, you only have to look at Roger Federer to see that. Rafael Nadal, 30 years old. Andy Murray, 30. It's a sport now for longevity. So 26, he's coming into his best years. Not many young players break through now. You have to be exceptional. So, you know, Dan's always had the ability. It's a case of then performing consistently throughout the year to maintain the ranking he's at.
Okay, so he's world number 45. That's a career high for him. I would presume he's got some targets for 2017.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he obviously wanted to get into the second week of a Grand Slam, which he's obviously done in Australia. And then it's also about just not only personal goals for him, but maintaining his level so that he stays in these tournaments throughout the year and going into 2018. You know, the rewards are obvious and he loves to play on a big stage. So that's the main goal for him.
Brilliant stuff. You're not heading out then, Mark, to Ottawa? There's no...
No, I'm fortunate. I get a week with the family, which doesn't come along very often, and then I fly to the US on Monday to meet up with Dan for some preparation before the next swing of tournament.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.